You're listening to a podcast from 702.
You know, watching Rising Phoenix, number one, and in the documentary, it is Prince Harry who comments to say there's nothing that you're going to find in a book or that you will just learn about anywhere that will inspire more than the Paralympics. And he's spot on. What we witnessed between the 24th of August and the 5th of September was just so inspiring and so uplifting. The Paralympic Games took place over those 2 weeks. South Africa sent 34 athletes who won 4 gold. There was 1 silver and 2 bronze medals. And 2 of those gold medals went to 19-year-old double amputee Ntando Mahlangu. And one of them was in the long jump and the other one was in the men's 200-meter race. But he actually started life in a wheelchair and his legs were amputated when he was 10 years old. And this conversation, his trajectory to the world stage of the Olympics, started with an encounter with Jumping Kids Prosthetics NGO. And we'll speak, you'll hear my conversation with Ntando at 2 o'clock, just reflecting on the Paralympics and coming back from Tokyo, having achieved what he achieved. But we thought we should also take this opportunity to profile the work of this organization, Jumping Kids Prosthetics. And their goal is to support child amputees throughout their formative years to the completion of their high school career. And they believe that access to prosthetic equipment should translate into access to quality education. And they have case study after case study after case study, what we're able to unlock when it comes to the potential of someone when we're able to increase the levels of mobility. And so joining us now is the director of Jumping Kids, and that is Michael Stevens. Good afternoon, Michael.
Good afternoon, Azania.
Really, really good to have you on the show. I think your own story is really an inspiring one. And I thought, if you don't mind, if we could spend a couple of minutes exploring your journey that has led you to doing this incredible work. Is that okay before we talk about some of the work that's done at Jumping Kids, rather?
Absolutely, no problem at all. Thanks for the opportunity to talk about all of it.
Yeah. So you were 12 years old when you lost your legs due to extensive electrification. Take us back to that day.
So it was 1992. It was an Olympic year as well. My father was actually competing for South Africa at the Barcelona Olympics, competing in sailing. And over that period where he had been training and going overseas to get his preparation in order, we hadn't been going down to our property that we used to go to at the bar. And in that period, Eskom came, put in power. On a holiday weekend, my brother, sister, and myself decided to give my mom a break because she'd been dealing with us the whole time and it was getting towards her birthday. So we went to the property at the bar. And I got on a land yacht. It's kind of a windsurfer with wheels is the best way to describe it. And it goes on the dirt roads and roads. And yeah, I jumped on that and started to go and essentially came down the back end. And in that period, like I said, it's going to come in and put in power. And unfortunately, there were no signs and I didn't see it. And it was kind of in the wrong place, all of those things. And the tip of the mast touched the power line. And that sent all the electricity through me, about 33,000 volts worth. And I got thrown from the land yacht, landed on the grass, started to set that alight because of the heat that had gone through my body. My brother and sister felt something was wrong. They ran to find me. My brother found me, pulled me onto the sand, started to look at doing some sort of CPR because he didn't know what was going on, realized I'd swallowed my tongue. Pulled that out. I started to breathe and scream, and then it became a process of what to do from here. And my brother and sister took me to Vereeniging Hospital, which was the nearest, but they didn't have power because I had shorted the whole system. And they said that I was far too damaged for them to do anything but maybe try and stabilize and move on. So my sister then asked where to go. They suggested Baragwanath, and that's where I went. And I ended up in the Baragwanath Burns Unit, where the first part was about saving my life, and then I spent the next 8 months just trying to have the skin I had lost put back on and to adapt to the new situation I faced as with burn injuries and a double leg amputee.
And how many people come to that, of course, is so varied. And for you, it was electrocution with Ntando, for instance. It was being born with a congenital disease, hemimelia. So it's all different for different people. So the journey to recovery meant, of course, acquiring prosthetics, and you had to learn how to use them. But once you were quite able, there was a lingering, haunting question about how other people, less privileged people, in fact, make it through an experience such as this. Tell me about the triggers and what led you to become part of Jumping Kids.
Yeah, well, I mean, the triggers start when you become an amputee and you now have to figure out what are my options? What equipment is there? What's good? What's bad? And, you know, I went through that process and you know, from getting your first set of equipment supplied by the state, as many people have, to then going into a private practice and to then, you know, exploring further. So I was able to go back to my mainstream school. That was the first thing. I made it very clear to my parents that I didn't want to go to the disabled school. I wanted to go back to my mainstream. And fortunately for me, there are enough people who believed in me to let that happen. And then while I was there, now I want to be mobile and active. So then it's walking and the legs. So, okay, how do I do this? By the time when I started, I was in a wheelchair. The first 2 years, I got carried up and down the stairs and around the school in the wheelchair and made it work. But by the time I finished in the trick, I was walking, you know, I got my driver's license. I was far more mobile and active. Then it became what's next. So it's university. I backpacked around the world. I did all the things that I would, you know, my peers around me were wanting to do. I was involved in all of that. Mm. Going into my first job and. But then I reached a point where I hit a bit of a problem in that I had got involved in a whole lot of businesses and my money was tied up in those, and I then could not afford my prosthetic solution at the time. Mm. And I got stuck in I can't walk now, so I can't work the way I used to. And because I can't work the way I used to, and I can't earn the money that I need to get the leg, and I'm in a terrible circle here. Mm. How do I escape it? And in that process, I answered those questions of, you know, if I, as somebody with a reasonable education and the level of privilege and an understanding of how this works, battle to get it right, then how is it ever going to happen for somebody like Ntando or somebody who has an accident, born into the situation or thrust into the situation with none of the knowledge or capability? How can they get themselves out? And that discussion made me think that it really was about giving more people access to the equipment. Mm. Because I believe that with access, the mobility can be sorted out. And with mobility sorted out, then there's no reason that they should be withheld from school or told they can't go to their nearest mainstream school, because they can do everything the other kids can do. There's nothing wrong with their brain. So mm-hmm. give them the best possible education. And then while we were doing all of that with the equipment and trying to get them educated, well, we're busy with sports, and we've got a sports club, and we've got all of these kids wanting to do it, so let's get them involved, because that will mean they'll use the equipment more effectively, become stronger, mm-hmm. have a better result, and then that holistic approach allows us to say, well, now you're finishing the trick, you have equipment, you're strong and capable, let's now find the next thing. It's about giving everybody a chance to build the future and not, you know, handicapping them, excuse the pun, but by saying that, oh, we can't give you the equipment and you must not go to the school, you know, that's mm-hmm. when you meet Ntando, he's at a disabled school. That school does not have a matric curriculum. So if he had stayed there, he would have finished without a matric. Mm. That's, you know, there's no reason for that. You'll hear in the interview how intelligent and capable he is. What he would have been limited if those were the only opportunities given to him.
Yeah, and the idea of introducing sports, or for sports being the main anchor, I think is so true to the vision of Ludwig Guttmann, who started the Stoke Mandeville Games, which were the precursors to the Paralympics, because he also realized that the returning soldiers who had spinal injuries were being left there just flooded with pain medication and not much more specialized health care was provided, and many of them ended up dying. But once there was attention to turning them in their beds so that they're no bed sores, and once they are much more recovered, introducing a form of physical activity, the potential that was there was absolutely unleashed. So I think just anchoring everything in sport is just such a powerful, is a powerful idea, and it lives on since that initial realization from Ludwig Guttmann.
It's a catalyst for confidence sports. You know, a lot of people with disabilities are told regularly what they can't do. So if they get into a sporting arena and start to realize what they can do, it's a catalyst of confidence for the next thing. You know, so I can run really fast. So if I can run really fast, how can I not handle a full day of work up and down the stairs and all the rest of it? You know, I'm strong enough, I'm capable enough. Mm. And those messages then get reinforced so that life becomes easier to think about.
Yes, and I know Ntando is not the only young person who has taken this increased mobility into the sporting arena. There's Junior Mavoso, there's also Bongani Mahlangu. These are also award-winning athletes. But over and above that, of course, your kids go on to live much more very full lives, extremely full lives as a result. So tell me about the work and the program once you identify a child that you could help.
Sure. So, I mean, finding the kids is never an issue. So, I think what people need to understand is that the scale of the issue is much bigger than people would ever understand or contemplate. There are hundreds of kids, thousands of kids, hundreds of thousands if you go into Africa, who need this type of support, whether they are an amputee or paralysis or CP. They just need a little bit of equipment support that makes it all easier. So finding the kids isn't the issue. When we do, they are introduced to us, we go through an application process to understand a little bit more about them. Then we assess them so that we understand exactly what we need to do. That's where we would learn, like from Ntando, where he says, I want to be active, I would love soccer, I want to run. Mm-hmm. That then gives us a goal and a way to approach their treatment. You know, the normal fitment process for a double above amputee is not to give them blades. So we've learned that the mobility that is granted through this is that much better. Mm-hmm. That's why we, for the double bugs, like in Thunder, will get blades. And then from there, it becomes a management process. So once we've done the initial fitment, we see the children probably every month or two for 4 to 6 months whilst we're just working through and doing some rehab. And once they've got that, it's established and they become more comfortable, we'll see them every kind of 3 months. Mm. And that's to make sure that we can maintain the equipment because, you know, kids grow, they'll break something. And if we can maintain it, one, we can manage the costs, and two, we can manage the equipment and the actual outcome better with them. And then with the equipment fitted and then I'm in the system, then it becomes, okay, we see potential in sport, come and join the sports club. Your academics are improving. What are your thoughts on school and high school? How do we get you into a better high school in the area? What are our options? And we start working on all of those angles.
So you see them right through that high school career once until they finish matric, and obviously then that's a much better foundation education wise and of course with the equipment side of things, so then the foundation is primed for them to be able to do more. So how do our listeners get in touch? Is it okay to direct to your website?
Yes, so we have the website, www.jumpingkids.org.za. Mm-hmm. We're very busy on social media. You'll see a lot of the updates going through there. My contact details are on the website and on social, so if they want to make a direct contact to ask more questions and understand it, or, you know, get any of the compliance issues, because that's the other side of nonprofits, is making sure that everything is in place.
Yeah.
So that you can do donations and, you know, report to SARS and make sure that it's legit. So, yeah, anything in that regard, they can contact. We have big plans. We're supporting over 100 children around the country with some form of prosthetic or mobility support or bursaries for education, access to sports. We're involved in all of it. So there are a lot of candidates and a lot of opportunities. And like you said, there are great stories. You know, Nkando is obviously an outlier that everybody's speaking about now. But if we just go into the Paralympic team, we can talk about Posoletso Mabote, who's following on from Ntando. He's 16 years old. Yes. I've known him since he was 8. We've gone through the same process. He's now a student at St. Edward's and doing fantastic stuff there. We have Tyra, who's here with me at clinic today. He's at Girls High. And there's more, you know. And then obviously, Teboho, who was also in the Paralympic team and got 4th. And his story is incredible, actually, you know. Right. 3 years ago, he was in the Karankua doing nothing, didn't know what he was going to be. And today, he's a Paralympian with a 4th place position and, just so much more possibilities ahead of him.
Yes. Oh, Michael, thank you very much for your time. It really has been incredible listening to the work that you do, the nature of it. Director for Jumping Kids, it's jumpingkids.org.za.